All right, thank you and for tuning in as we get back into the book of 2 John. We looked at the first section, which was the first section. Remember we said we broke this book of 2 John down into two parts, rather three parts. There's a beginning and an introduction. There's a depart from me, I never knew you section. And there is a how to remain and walk in the will and bear fruit. Walk in the will of God and bear fruit. So we looked at the bread. That was the beginning and the end, the introduction and the conclusion. But now we're going to put some meat in that sandwich. So let's look at verses 4 through 6 and then look at verses 8 through 9. Verse 4 says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as your Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." Skipping verse 7, look at verse 8. "Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teachings has both the Father and the Son." All right, let's stop right there, because in these verses, remember how we talked about in the opening three verses, John used the word truth four times? Well, in these verses, we have another repeated word, and that word is walk. In verse 4, he says, walking in truth. In verse 6, he says, walking in obedience. And also verse 6, to walk in love. But then, look at verse 9. We haven't read that yet, but let's go ahead and, or no, we read that already. He says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. So, in those verses we read, there's walking in the truth, walking in obedience, walking in love, and then he gets to running ahead. So let's hold that thought, because if you remember the old Sesame Street bit where it says, one of these doesn't belong here. Well, one of these statements doesn't belong here. And that, of course, is the running ahead. Now, we have discussed in detail in the book of 1 John about what it means to walk in love. We discussed obedience and we discussed truth. But we haven't talked much about remaining in that truth or remaining in that love or remaining in that obedience. Think of it like a courting relationship. And by the way, you know, those of you who are about to get married or in a serious relationship, I would consider strongly, if you haven't already made a commitment to abstinence, that you do this. It's for the sake of your marriage, it's for the sake of your relationship, and for your future children. But that's just something the Lord just laid on my heart. It has nothing to do with this teaching. But anyone who's been married a little while knows that after several years of marriage, phrases like, you used to blank, come up often, don't they? Or they will hear phrases much like, remember when you used to blank, fill in the blank, or how come you don't blank anymore? This is what happens in marriage, right? We don't do the things we did when we were courting. We don't do the things we did as we were first dating or first married. Why? Is it because we don't love that person anymore? No, that's not it. Chances are we love that person even more, having grown together through the years. It's just there's dynamics to relationships depending on where they're at. But it was never meant to be like that with the Lord. Let's face it. Marriage is not meant to be like courting. And we should probably realize that at the wedding. You see, the courting is just an act or a means that brings two people together. But every now and then, a successful marriage must return to those days. Every now and then, for a marriage to be successful, we must do some of the things we did during those days. Now, not as a way of living, not as a irresponsible denial of life and bills and things that we have to do, but getting back to what it was like when we were courting, just a revisitation, a recharging. That's why we go on marriage retreats. That's why we take day hikes, things of this nature. Our Christian walk is so much like this. You know, in the courting stage, the Holy Spirit is wooing us and cooing us. And many people, they come to Christ under sometimes dire and unusual circumstances. And Christ being faithful rescues them. Oh, and we fall in love with Him. And yes, the beginning of the relationship with Jesus, that courting, that love, that freedom, it's wonderful. But then the marriage sets in. Listen, the devil does not usually bother new couples in their courting state. Devil doesn't usually bother new couples on their honeymoon. And oftentimes, the devil doesn't bother new couples in the first part of their marriage. But he does come a calling eventually. And so one of the prayers that, you know, I like to make is that I pray that I will not lag behind what God is doing. I want to walk step in step with Him. I want to walk step in step with His will for my life. And the reason I pray this is because in my personal life, I most of the time want to do what I want to do. Isn't that true for you too? I know you're more holy than I, but that's okay. I'm getting there. It's hard to pray the Father's will sometimes because we are so self-centered. And sometimes, you know, we get caught up with our pious behavior, and we try to, you know, preserve ourselves and preserve the things that we like. But listen, God is always right, and the quicker we accept that, the better off we're going to be in our walk. So I'll put it to a little rhyming jingle here. To walk with God is to step where He's trod. That's what walking step in step means. If we want to walk with God, we got to step where He trod. And when we do that, we are in step with His will. How do we do that? We walk, as John said, in love. We walk in obedience. I can remember when I was younger, when my son was younger, we hiked in the snow one time, and it was pretty deep snow, and he was struggling because of the snow. He was just a young lad, maybe 5, maybe 6, something like that. And I said to him, I got an idea. I'm going to step first and make a big giant footprint, and all you have to do is step in the footprints, and you won't have to trudge through the snow. And that's what he did. He stepped into my footprints, and you know what? It made his walk a whole lot easier. Now, we may never have seen God. We may not know what it means to walk in step with the Lord. But we have seen His likeness. We have seen God incarnate. We have seen His Son. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. And, listen, the exact representation of His being. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand in the majesty in heaven. And Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So yes, we have seen God. We've seen Him in the form of Jesus. And we see Jesus in His word. And so Jesus is telling us the same thing today. He said from the very beginning, follow Me, for I have walked before creation, for I have walked in hell itself, and I have walked on earth, and I have walked in heaven. I've even walked like an Egyptian, he might just say. Sorry for that. But this is the Savior that we follow. He has walked and trotted in those places, and we just have to follow Him. And there's a reason God wants us to stay close. There's a reason God wants us to follow after Him. There's a reason He wants us to remain in Him. And that reason? Simply because He loves you. He knows that the slightest bit of straying away or lagging behind or even running ahead is going to put you in harm's way. We must remain close to the shepherd if we want the protection of the shepherd. Remember the game you played as a kid? I think we all played it at some point. There's different variations of it, but the essence of the game goes like this. The floor is lava. Remember that game? The floor is lava. The floor is lava. And so as a kid, your main goal was to never touch the carpet or the floor. and, you know, or it was infested with sharks or alligators. And that was a fun game as a kid, trying to stay on the furniture and step on things that aren't the floor. The floor is lava. Well, guys, gals, listen. God knows what lies all around you. He knows that outside of the protection of His healing and strong hand is lava, is pitfalls, alligators, sharks, snakes, whatever you want to make it out to be. God says, I know what's out there. And yes, God has walked where we have not. And apart from Him, apart from light, is what? Darkness. Darkness is defined as the absence of light. Just as lies are the absence of truth, and sin, the absence of morality. There's something going on around you, Christian. And I need to have your attention here, because listen, Jesus knows there's something going on around you. God knows there's something going around on around you. Do you know? Do you know it? Listen, it's very important to know that when we stray apart from the will of God, when we get out of obedience, we are just a sitting duck waiting to be plucked and swallowed up whole. You know, Jesus spent more time exposing the kingdom of darkness than He did talking about heaven. But that doesn't mean both weren't taught. And so I'm going to end by saying this. When we run ahead of God, we are running into a realm that we simply do not belong. I pray these messages are blessing you. Stay tuned. We'll be starting a new one here shortly. And thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed day.